And now we're going to look at the second reading, which is from the first letter to the Corinthians. It is talking about gifts. Chapter 12, verses 4 to 11. It's the part we have. We're in this part now of the letter to the Corinthians, where Paul is trying to help them understand that love regulates all the community functions and all the exercise of the gifts. He does that, you know. He'll describe a situation, and then he'll seemingly be talking about something else completely. But it really is that which gives us the light to understand the problem, and then he solves the problem. The example is the Eucharist. In the same letter, Corinthians, in chapter 14, he's talking about the Eucharist, and he starts talking about the abuses. And then, that's A, then he talks about the institution of the Eucharist, the act of love in which Jesus gives himself to us to be sacramentalized forever, the act of love in which he died on the cross. Then he goes back, in the light of that, to treat of the problems, the divisions in the community, people looking after their own needs and not everybody else's, neglecting the poor. Those are the three sins against the Eucharist, by the way. You see? And neglecting the poor is one of them. And now, then he applies this teaching on the institution of the Eucharist to those problems. So, he's doing the same thing here. You see, he's starting to show this diversification. Then he will, this is chapter 13, then he'll go back to treat of the problems that arose in chapter 12, and that'll be chapter 14. So, this is all about the charismata, the charismatic gift, which are normal. In fact, Pope John Paul II, no, I'm sorry, this text, I could have used one, but I'm using this text from the Council. I'm trying to find the place. It is not only through the sacraments and the ministrations of the Church that the Holy Spirit makes holy the people, leads them, and enriches them with his virtues. Allotting his gifts to each one, not to special people, to each one, according as he wills, and I'm going to read exactly that as part of the sacred text. He also distributes special graces among the faithful of every rank. And by these gifts, he makes them fit and ready to undertake various tasks and offices for the renewal and building up of the church, as it is written. And then he gives this quote that we're going to be looking at. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to everyone. Literally, to each one. Ekasto, it says in our text. To each one, you see, for the good of all. Eis symphoron, for the good. So, we have to find out what our gifts are and exercise them. Otherwise, we're impoverishing the church. Well, how many gifts? Well, my goodness, I once did an article on this. Paul mentions, if you mention them all, you're probably up in the 40s or 50s. And he doesn't say this is an exhaustive treatment. These are examples of the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives to people. Somebody who has a gift to lead the church in music worship as a gift. And so, we have here now, he's beginning to talk about this. So he says, now, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, and he calls them charismaton. We get charism from that word, you see? Different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit. You see, the gifts should make us more one not divide us. Because if I have these gifts and you have those gifts, we need one another. I don't have all the gifts, and neither do you. But together, we then make the body of Christ. So that the diversity of gifts is meant to make us more one than if we all had the same homogenized panoply of gifts, you see. And so, spiritual gifts with the same spirit, different forms of service, diakonon, that's diakonion, but the same kyrios, the same Lord, and different workings, energimaton. It's hard to know, maybe he just means miracles and things like that, and the same God. Notice, the Trinitarian, huh? Different kinds of gifts, but the same spirit. Different forms of service, but the same Lord. Different workings, but the same God. Spirit, Lord, God, Trinity. You see? To each individual. Now, that's not really as strong as the text. The text says, you see, ekasto, to each. Nobody without gifts in the church. To each, ekasto. To each one, you see, the manifestation of the Spirit is given, eis symphoron, for some benefit. So the gifts are meant to benefit the body. That's why it's important to pray and discern our gifts and to use them to build the body. And you may discover a gift nobody else ever had, but it's still part of the building of the body. Is the gift of Kibernef's administration. Oh, do we need that one? To run the parish in a way that everybody's peaceful, everybody's taken care of. You see, that's Kibernef's administration. What a gift, huh? And so, this is what he's talking about. To each individual, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for some benefit. That's pretty flat. Excuse me. You don't get the idea from there. You see, eis symphoron, for the bienet, for the good, for the... But to each one, a gift is given. There is no Christian without a gift. What gift? Find out. I remember one of the priests giving a conference at Steubenville. He had a wonderful gift for healing. I mean, extraordinary gift for healing. Very simple and humble guy. And he said, now some of you fellows are wondering whether you have a big healing gift or a little healing gift. He said, it's really easy. Just pray over people. If a lot of people are healed, you have a big healing gift. If only a few are healed, you have a little healing gift. It's very easy to find out, you know. It was so simple. And then he goes on, you see, to start talking about some of the gifts. To one is given the Logos Sophias, a word of wisdom. Great understanding of the mysteries. Expound the Trinity in a way that other people are just breathless with awe at the beauty of God's life, you see. Another, through the same Spirit, the expression of wisdom, to understand and know God, and to know God in a way that is savorous. There's a savor. When that person speaks about God, others are moved deeply, because it's coming from a deep place within the person, you see. To another, the logos of knowledge. Now, in the charismatic renewal, the word of knowledge is often say to somebody, right now, you have a very bad disease, but it's not manifest yet. May I pray over you? A word of knowledge. It means more than that in our text. But I'm saying this, friends, because you see, these are all going on. In fact, it's John Paul II who says, you see, that the institutional and the charismatic are, as it were, co-equal dimensions of the church. Understand? The church is not just a structure. It's a living body endowed with gifts, and we all have to find out what our gifts are. And that was a great explosion way back when the renewal began. That's why it was called the charismatic renewal. Not because it was only to do with the charisms. It was primarily to do with sanctity. But the gifts were being made manifest in a beautiful, powerful way in all of the people. And the simplest people were given the most extraordinary gifts, especially of healing. And it's very important that we realize that these are gifts, you see. Faith, gifts of healing by the one Spirit to another, mighty deeds. And now you get into some of these huge things. To another, prophecy. That, Paul is going to say, is the most important gift, prophecy. Because there we receive the word of God for God's people. You see? Another, discernment of spirits. That's very important, especially for spiritual directors, to know what spirit is moving this person. Some of them are pretty obvious. There are a whole bunch that aren't. And false manifestations can pass for true ones. And that's why the whole thing is subject to the bishops. But if the bishop doesn't have the gift of discernment, he's lost. How is he going to discern? You see, it's important. See, to another, variety of tongues, and to another, the interpretation of tongues. Now these gifts, tongues and interpretation, in a way they're the most dramatic, but they're not the most important. But praying in tongues does liberate us to pray from a deeper place within us and to make sounds. Are these sounds a real language? Sometimes they are. I remember a friend of mine. I'll try to tell you three stories, 30 seconds apiece, I guess. Benedictine priest, friend of mine, Louis Loire, a great scholar, Armenian and Greek and all that. And he went to a prayer meeting for the first time in Paris. He was coming home from Rome on his way back to his monastery up in Belgium, or right next to Belgium, I've forgotten now. Anyway, he went to a prayer meeting because he wanted to hear, see what they were. Somebody stood up and said in perfect, flawless Hebrew, "This is the essence of the ministry of the laity," which is the topic he had just been discussing in Rome. He said, "It's wonderful. I must find out where the fellow got that." And so then another one, a girl stood up and started to pray the Hail Mary in Syriac. Now, these are real languages, you see. So afterwards, Louis, in his simplicity, thought, well, he must know these languages because he knows about 14. So he went up to the first person. He said, "That was very beautiful, what you said about the priesthood of the laity. Where did you get that?" He said, "Is that what I was talking about?" The person himself had no idea. And the second one, he said to that girl, "When you say full of grace, you say, you use hanun, and I use another word. Why do you do that?" She said, "Father, I didn't know I was saying the Hail Mary." So you see, there is this remarkable manifestation. The point that I want to make now as we move on is these are meant to build unity and humility. If they breed division and pride, forget them. They're not going to build up your church. They're not going to build up your group. But if you can pray for humility, you will truly use these gifts to build the church and make it powerful in its preaching and healing and prophesying.